Commence our worship this morning, 636. You'll find in the page 433. It was my desire to sing this hymn either next week or the week following, but it's a wonderful hymn, and it's one of those hymns that can only be sung as you're dealing really with the subject of it. Elijah made a sacrifice to offer to Jehovah, and we thought we'd sing it today just so we can even think upon these words as we sing. 636, please, and we'll remain seated as we sing. Amen. Let's stand for prayer at this time, please. Let's have our hearts bowed once again before the Lord. Our God and our Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, O God, that we come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ this day and Him only. We thank Thee, O God, this day that we are coming before the God of Elijah. What encouragement is even found in that hymn that we've just sung, that Elijah's God still lives today. And Lord, we look around our land, we look around the great needs that there is, and we are thankful that Thou art still the living and the true God. We are so thankful that Thou art the one who is still in control. Thou art the one who is still seated upon the throne. We thank Thee that everything this day is still happening in accordance with Thy divine will. There is nothing, O God, that has happened even over this week and indeed over this year, that Thou art not being caught by surprise, but rather Thou knowest the end from the beginning. We come to Thee, O God, this day as the one who is over all things and the one who knows all things. And we do pray, O God, that Thou wilt even once again accept of our worship as we are found in Thy house. We do pray, O God, this day that our hearts will be prepared, and our hearts have already been prepared, O God, to worship Thee, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, O God, that as we will open up Thy Word, as we read it together, as we study it even in the preaching of Thy Word, that, O God, that our hearts will be that resting place for Thy Word today, that we will hide it deep in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. O Lord, whenever we see so much discouragement around, may we find encouragement in Thy Word this day. May our hearts be lifted. May our hearts burn within us, O God, for the talking of the Lord even to us as we are found in Thy house. We thank Thee, O God, for the opportunity to be here. We thank Thee for each one that is before us this day. We do pray that Thou wilt bless them and that Thou wilt even undertake for their individual and collective needs at this time. Lord, we do pray for each family and each individual. Thou knowest, O God, the burdens that have been carried to this house. Thou knowest the burdens in life and the pressures of life at this time. Lord, Thou knowest the great tragedies and, Lord, the great heartache that there is, even within families and within individuals. And, O Lord, we just pray that Thou wilt meet each and every one at the very point of their need. We do think and continue to pray for the Edwards family. We do pray as well, O God, for Ivan Morrison and his sister at this time, that Thou wilt undertake for her. We do as well pray for Nigel, and we pray for William Gibson, and Lord, for others that are in great need of Thee at this time. We pray that Thou wilt touch them at the very point of their need. We do extend our sympathy and our prayers even at this time as well to our sister Pearl and to her family circle. Lord, that Thou wilt comfort her, that Thou wilt, O God, be with her, and may she feel Thy presence there in the home at this time. Lord, Thou knowest even the separation and the inability, Lord, even to travel and to be with the family, and Lord, to be there for that funeral, and Lord, even to have that sense of closure. And Father, we just pray that Thou wilt strengthen them, and Lord, may she find that comfort, and Lord, may she cling to Thee in these days. And even through the sudden passing of this dear brother, O God, that Thou wilt speak to the rest of the family, and that each one will have made that preparation to meet Thee. Lord, remember as well our elderly at this time. We think of those, Lord, unable to join with us anymore, that Thou wilt, O God, watch over them. Remember our sister in the nursing home and our brother Cairns in his own home as well. Undertake for them. Lord, may they feel Thy presence even with them today. Remember, O God, each family, each one. Lord, be with and bless and protect our people in these days. Those that are working in the front lines. Those, O God, that are facing even the dangers at this time. We just pray that Thy hand will be upon them. We thank Thee for how Thou hast watched over this congregation. How, O God, that Thou hast preserved life even up to this point. We pray that Thou will continue to do so. Thou will continue to watch over and to undertake. Lord, we do look to Thee, O God, even for revival. We pray afresh for it. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt revive Thy church. Revive every one of Thy children. God, revive this pulpit, revive this preacher. Revive, O God, every individual. Lord, we look in these days and we pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray, O God, for those times that we have failed Thee, those times that we have let Thee down. Those times, O God, when our hearts have grown cold. And we do pray even with that hymn, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh upon us. Break us, O God. Melt us. Mold us. And fill us. O Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh upon us. God, then we pray for the awakening of our land. Lord, we are coming to Thee in days when God has been completely rejected. We're coming to Thee, O God, in these days when man is turning to everything and to anything but Thee. Lord, we lament the spiritual standing of our government. We lament the spiritual standing of our nation. That we have a people that has turned wholeheartedly away from Thee. O Father, that they will be turned towards Thee. Thy Spirit will move in such a way in this land that man will acknowledge that Thou art God and beside Thee there is none else. O Father, have mercy, we pray Thee. And even in these days as we enter this lockdown once again, O God, that men and women will be dealt with. We thank Thee that throughout this year that souls have been saved, even in our own land. Even through the online ministry, as they have heard Thy word going forward, whether it be through a sermon audio or Facebook or YouTube. And Lord, souls are being convicted, souls have been saved. We rejoice in this. We pray that even over these next number of weeks that more souls will be saved. That Thy church will yet grow even more in this land and even in our community. Lord, we pray that men and women will turn to Thee. Lord, be near to us this day. Empty us, O God, of self and of sin. Forgive us of our sins even now. Cleanse us, O God. Purge us with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be whiter than snow. O God, even give us now hearts of joy and hearts of worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read at this time just from 1 Kings in the chapter 18. We'll read our psalm this evening. And just with the way the announcements ran over that bit longer, we'll keep our psalm reading for this evening. So 1 Kings chapter 18. I want to read the opening six verses and then we'll move down to the verse 16 as we continue our series in the life of Elijah. 1 Kings in the chapter 18. The verse 1 of the chapter. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. And so they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Then down to the verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? He answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Amen. And may the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his own divine and inspired word today. I'm going to sing one more hymn just before we come to the preaching of God's word. And the hymn is the hymn 574. 574, the page is 408. When the storms of life are raging, tempests wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. The hymn 574, and remain seated once again as we sing, please. Fitting are those words of verse 3, even as we come to our message today. The verse 3, it says, enemies may strive to injure, and Satan all his arts employ. Let's stand to pray. We're going to be looking at the foe of Elijah today. The foe of Elijah as we come to consider Ahab and his meeting with Elijah. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can shelter neath thy hand. We thank thee, O God, that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Not principalities, not powers. Not any of the spiritual or the wicked devices that there are against us. Lord, we rejoice in this. We rejoice that our confidence is found in thee. O Father, bless us now as we come to consider thy word. Open our minds, open our ears, open our hearts even now to receive it. Speak, O God, to every heart, both here in the building and those that are watching online. O God, work within us, and even this day, speak through me. Touch my lips, touch my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's have our Bibles open in 1 Kings 18, in this passage that we read together. And as I said, we entitled the message today, The Foe of Elijah. The Foe of Elijah. Elijah's on his way back here, back to stand before King Ahab. That time of hiding, that time of preparation is now over. God has called him once again to appear before Ahab and to speak to him on behalf of the Lord. Last week we noted that as he was making his journey, as he was making his way to meet with Ahab, that the Lord brought a friend to Elijah. In his divine providence, the Lord brought Obadiah to him. In the midst of a darkened world, in the midst of a land of great despair, as Elijah is making his way, and that sore famine is upon the land of Samaria. And yet even though Elijah is believing within his heart, he's going before King Ahab, and he's going there, humanly speaking, he's going there alone. He has no friend, he has no one to stand with him. And yet the Lord, in the midst of that sinful world, in the midst of a nation that's turned away from God, Elijah was given a friend, one to encourage him, even in that moment as he was going towards the palace. For indeed, after he met this friend, very quickly he would meet his foe, namely that of King Ahab. You know, within the Christian life, there are always those that will oppose us. In the Christian life, in the Christian walk, as we journey this through this scene of time, as we make our way towards glory, there will always be those that will stand against us, that will seek to hinder and will seek to harm us. When we are on the Lord's side, there are always those to contend against. Isn't that what Jude said in his little epistle? Earnestly contend for the faith. It's something that all of us must take up. It's that mantle that all of us must carry, that we contend against the principalities, against the powers. Just the other week, we sang that hymn, Encamped Along the Hills of Light. The chorus of it being, faith is a victory. But in verse 3 of that hymn, the hymn writer, John H. Yeats, he said, on every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dead array. Well, my friend, there's always the foe to face. There's always the ones that we must wrestle against and fight against. In Elijah's day, he had the foe of Ahab. Indeed, you could say he also had the foe of Jezebel, and we'll look at her in the future. And he had the foe of the false prophets, and we had them numbered even in the reading today. But today we focus our attention primarily upon Ahab himself. In this particular setting, he is the primary foe. I want you to remember, and even to have that parallel in your mind as we consider Ahab this morning, that we have the parallel of the devil himself. There are three things I want to leave with you in relation to the foe of Elijah. I want you to see firstly the verse 5, the heart of the foe. The heart of the foe. The verse 5, it says, Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Matthew 7 and the verse 16, it says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And certainly we can see through Ahab's actions the man that he truly was. If you remember the words of 1 Kings 16 and the verse 30, where it says, Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Ahab was a king that did more evil in the sight of God, but he also did more evil towards his people. He was the king. He was the leader. And over his reign in those years up until this point, he had led them further and further away from the Lord spiritually. And indeed, during the years of famine, he had abandoned his care of them physically. In the midst of that time of barrenness, in the midst of that time of famine, and even after 3 years of suffering and 3 years of hardship, as the ground grew harder and harder, as the brooks grew drier and drier, as everything turned and the lushness of the grass disappeared, everything withered, everything disappeared, all of the fruits, all of the joys that there were to be enjoyed in the land, it all disappeared from the scene. Yet he never once helped his people. Never once, as the leader of them, as the one who was in control of the nation, never once did he call his people to repent. Never once did he call them to mind the words of Elijah. Never once did he ask them to turn away from Baal. He never even did it himself. Never once did he call for repentance. The fact is, he had no love for the Lord. He had no love for the people either. You read the verse 2, it tells us at the end of it, that sore famine in Samaria. Yet when you come down to the verse 5, his request and his desire of his heart was to, as he said to Obadiah, I want to save the horses. I want to save the mules. There's a sore famine in Samaria. Every family, every household is suffering. There is great need upon the individuals. And yet his desire is, I want to save my animals more than I want to save my people. You know, in Ahab here, you have a picture of the heart of the devil. The devil is the leader and the master of not only the fallen angels and demons, but he is the leader, he is the master of the sinner. 1 John 3 in the verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Each one that is unsaved, as John 8 and 44 tells us, ye are of your father, the devil. It's a reality. Whenever we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity, our master, our father figure, our leader is the devil. We are not under the reign of Christ. We are not under the authority of Christ. We are under the authority and the devil is our master. And yet the reality is that he has no love for you. The reality is, for everyone that is in their sins, he has no care for you. He has no compassion for you. You think of a father figure even within the home setting, and the father's joy is in his children. And the father's primary concern as a father figure is towards his wife and towards his children. He desires the best for them. He protects them. He loves them. He provides for them. He ensures that everything through their steps of life, that they have everything they need. They have their safety. And yet the father figure of the devil for the unsaved is one that doesn't care if you go to hell. Indeed, the reality is he wants you to go to hell. He wants suffering and heartache. He wants brokenness and chaos. My, what a difference there is when you compare the two leaders, when you compare the two masters. On the one hand, the child of God, we have Christ as our king, we have Christ as our head. On the other hand, is for the unbeliever, for the sinner, they have the devil as their master. The devil is the author of confusion and chaos, 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9 and 6. The devil is a liar, John 8 and 44, he's never told the truth once. He lies about everything. And yet John 14 and 6 tells us that Christ is truth. The devil's a murderer, John 8:44 tells us. Yet Christ is life, John 14:6. The devil's a destroyer, 1 Peter 5:8. Christ is a builder, John 14:3. The devil's a thief, John 10:10. Christ is a giver, John 14:27. Unsaved, when you consider this morning the seismic difference between the devil and the Lord Jesus Christ, when you weigh them up and you look at what the devil has to offer and you look at what the Lord has to offer, you look at the difference between the two sides, the two masters. And you can only serve one, you can't serve both. You either serve the Lord or you serve mammon. You either serve the darkness or you serve the light. You either serve the night or you serve the day. Yet my question to the unsaved today is this: why do you choose to remain in the darkness? Why do you choose to follow after the darkness? Well, the Lord shows us in John, men love darkness rather than night because their deeds are evil. The unsaved listening this morning, I encourage you, I plead with you, even today, to look again at Christ. Devil's heart's against you. He offers you nothing. Yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, Christ offers everything because Christ has paid everything. Christ offers life. Christ offers peace. Christ offers hope. Christ offers a home in heaven. Christ gives everything. He's offering it today. You not come to him? Even now in your own heart, will you not turn from your sin and ask the Lord to save you? The heart of the foe. Then secondly, I want you to see in the verse 17 the hatred of the foe. The hatred of the foe. Verse 17, it says, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Now you can just picture that scene as Obadiah has followed after and found Ahab, and he comes to him and he says, "Ahab, Elijah is on his way. Elijah has come. He wants to see you." And of course, Ahab has spent the last number of years and he's went here and there. He's sought in all of that hatred and all of that anger to find him. He had went over all of the kingdom. Indeed, in the verse in number 10, it tells us that he even went to other kingdoms. He went to the neighboring nations. He took oaths off them to make sure and to ensure that they were not hiding Elijah. Such was that hatred burning within his heart, that he simply wouldn't stop. He wouldn't give up that search. He wouldn't give up that manhunt. And so you can just imagine as Obadiah comes and presents that news for Ahab, and then Ahab immediately turns about and he immediately heads. And that moment whenever they come into each other's presence, that hatred, that burning envy and that burning malice and wickedness even towards Ahab, it just brims and it just fills. Finally clasps eyes in the man that came in before him 3 years ago and promised that the word of the Lord was that there would be judgment upon the land. That hatred then comes forward into verse 17 in a baseless accusation. He says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Instead of admitting guilt, instead of confessing sin, Ahab blames the child of God. He's come through the land. He knows the hardships in terms of their own struggles for food, for water, and all of those things, even for the animals. And he comes, and finally, as he makes that journey and they come into each other's presence, he points the finger straight at Elijah and he says, "It's all your fault. Everything that's happening in this land, it's all because of you." Never once does he confess that he sinned against the Holy God. You know, that's never changed. Making accusations against Christians become a way of life, really, down through the generations and centuries. Everything that goes wrong, we'll just blame that on God. Every time there's a great devastation, every time there's a natural disaster, whether it be earthquakes, whether it be tsunamis, whatever the case may be, forest fires or plagues, whatever the case, even this here COVID and all of the pandemic and all of the death and the suffering, just blame God. It's all His fault. Why'd God allow it? So we'll blame the Christian. Because the Christian's the one that stands up for the crown rights of King Jesus. Because the gospel offends. Someone asks you today, oh, why is this upon us? Why is this pandemic not gone away? And you say, well, it's because of sin. You just offend them. As you're pointing the finger at them and you're telling them realistically, you're telling them by your words, in the eyes of God, you're not good enough. The reality is, none of us are. When you highlight their sins, you highlight sins to the sinner today, it just brings out their true person, brings out their true heart. And the hatred causes action, causes words to be said. Ahab blamed Elijah for the famine. You think in the days of Christ as well. Remember Elijah, up until this point, he had never done one thing wrong. He had never harmed a nation himself. He had never attacked or physically went against a king or anything like that. He had never led an uprising. He had never sought to destroy any life. He simply presented the word of God. Then you think of our Savior. You think of what the Pharisees did to Christ. Because He exposed them for who they were. Lord Jesus, many expected, oh, He's the Messiah. He's going to lead an uprising. He's going to lead an army and overthrow the Roman Empire. The Jewish kingdom is going to be set up again in Christ. No, Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And in doing so, He pointed the finger and He highlighted the sins of the Pharisees. You go through the Gospels and Christ will preach against the Pharisees. He'll call them hypocrites. He'll call them vile. He'll call them serpents. He'll call them whited sepulchres. And what did they want to do? Stone them. Kill them. And eventually they arrested Him. They begged for His crucifixion. Did He ever harm them in any way? No, He harmed their hearts. He harmed their pride. Did He ever physically attack them? Did He ever come and throw them out of their homes or turn over anything? No, He simply came and brought them truth. And they turned the people against our Savior. And they went to their own enemies, the Romans, and they begged them to crucify Him, to nail Him to a tree. You think of Paul and Silas in Acts 16. They cured the woman that was demon-possessed. A woman that was under immense torture within her body and within her mind. And her masters turned in on Paul and Silas. They lied about them. Acts 16 in the verse 20, it says, they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Even though they helped a woman, even though they cured a woman, even though they brought peace to her mind, what's the point of what's the accusation? No, these men have troubled our city. Now, J. Hammond, he wrote and he says, the first Christians were called enemies of the human race. All manner of evil is said against them falsely. Child of God, don't expect to be loved. Don't expect to be welcomed by the world. When you're living for Christ and you're speaking for Him, you're serving Him, you are the world's enemy. They hate you. They hate me. Matthew 10 and 22, it says, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, I'm sure that Elijah knew he wasn't going for a friendly chat and a cup of tea. I'm sure as Elijah came away from the widow of Zarephath's house, as he was making that way, he knew one thing. I'm not going to be welcomed. I'm not going to be liked. I'm not going to be brought in before King Ahab, and Ahab's going to ask for my advice and ask for me to intercede. None of that's going to happen. He knew he was heading for hostility and hatred. And yet it's wonderful to note that he willingly obeyed and went. Even though he knew exactly what he was going to face, even though he knew exactly the hostility that was going to be against him, yet he still willingly went. Child of God, the devil hates you. The world hates you because of He who lives within you. But be of good cheer this morning, for the one who lives within you has overcome the world. You know, as I was preparing this message, my mind was taken to Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. We've looked at the life of Stephen. We looked at his martyrdom before when we studied the book of Acts. Just to remind you of the words that were said at that time. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it says, speaking of the Jews, the leaders, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. The hatred that Stephen experienced for the gospel. The abuse. The wickedness right up into his face. They loathed him so much, they gnashed with their teeth in his face. And yet it never affected him. Never affected him. Because if you read the remaining verses, in verse 55, he simply looks past them. By the help of the Holy Spirit, even upon him at that time, it says in verse 55, he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looks up steadfastly into heaven. He saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing in the right hand of God. And even though they're gnashing in his face, and even though the hatred is there and it's brimming out of them, he looked past them. He saw God's glory. And he wasn't put off speaking. Because it tells us in verse 56, and he said to them, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of God, or the Son of Man, standing in the right hand of God. Well, there was hatred. There still is hatred. The enemy of the gospel still hates today as much as they ever did. The more that you do for the Lord, the more hatred will be evident towards you. But let me encourage you, believer, this morning to simply follow the example of Elijah. because I want you to see, thirdly and finally, the handling of the foe. The handling of the foe. In the verse 18, Elijah answered and said, I have not troubled Israel but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. You know, in this verse, Elijah deals with the enemy perfectly. And using the words of 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse 58, we see in this verse that Elijah is steadfast. Because he immediately answers with the words, I have not troubled Israel. He will not accept the slanderous accusation against him. He will not accept the devil even speaking through Ahab to put any blame on him. All of the darts, as it were, have been thrown towards him. All of the accusations being lambasted and being pointed straight at Ahab or Elijah. And Elijah immediately takes on. He says, No, you're pointing the wrong direction. It's not me, it's you. He's steadfast. He's unmovable. Because he goes on to say, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, thy father's house. You notice that he doesn't give an inch. He will not even accept 1% of the blame. He will not accept that anything that is happening and has happened upon the nation of Israel and the nation of Samaria and all of that land, he will not accept problem or cause for any of it. He says it's you and your father's house. He's steadfast, he's unmovable, he's always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because he goes on to say, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, now has followed Balaam. In the face of the enemy, what Elijah had and what we need, spiritual boldness. To fight the fire of their hatred with our fire of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that what the apostles prayed in Acts 4 and 29 when the persecution was beginning? Peter and John had been arrested after their time in the temple. They'd been cast into prison overnight. The next day, then they're brought out and they're finally released to go back to the house of the believers. They come in, they give that report, and then the believers, they get down to pray. And Acts 4:29, what do they say? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what we need. That's how to handle the enemy. Unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Spiritual boldness. Child of God, as we close today, we have a foe to face. Are we going to stand against the enemy? Are we going to resist the enemy? James 4 and verse 7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You're going to be like Elijah. You're going to be like Stephen. You're going to be like our Savior. Yes, there are enemies to face. There are attacks to repel. But using the words of Matthew 10 and 28, or 22, may we endure to the end and look forward to that eternal salvation. The devil's heart is against us. And on Save Today, I remind you of those words that we said earlier on. Devil's heart's against you. He is your master, but he doesn't love or care for you. So I encourage you, as I bring this meeting to a close, if you've never tasted and seen that the Lord is good, if you've never experienced his love, his compassion, his mercy, Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. He'd love nothing better than to save you. He stands willing and ready now if you'll turn to him. Let's bow in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, this day that Elijah's God is still reigning. He's still upon the throne. The promises that we cling to even from thy word are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, O God, that our confidence and our security is found in thee. Even in the midst of the battle and the attacks that we face, the hatred of the enemy towards us, yet our shelter is found in the Lord. And O God, as we go forward, may we have that spiritual boldness upon us. May we be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We pray, O God, even for the unsaved that have heard thy word this day. Lord, may they see that their master, the devil, has no love or care for them. He only desires the worst, and yea, the pit of hell for them. O Father, have mercy, we pray thee. Open eyes and open hearts this day. And turn men and women, young people, boys and girls from darkness unto light. Be with us now as we separate one from the other. Bring us again this evening in safety and in the Spirit of the Lord. Bring others with us as well, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.